The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Normally, a Hungarian election would not garner much interest here, but today's poll will have ramifications right across Europe. Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban favours despotism over democratic norms. He's close to Putin, and he's the darling of Trump's Republican Party. Even J.D. Vance showed up in Budapest earlier this week to cheerlead for Orban. If it wasn't so serious, it would be beyond satire as a European leader openly praises authoritarian power and actively undermines democratic norms. Orban isn't an isolated case. Throughout the world, democracy is challenged by the beguiling presence of the return of the strong man who embraces a form of nationalism that puts traditional values over liberal norms. We're joined now by Martin Wolf, chief economics commentator at the Financial Times and author of the book, The Crisis of Democratic Capitalism. Morning, Martin.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Now, after 16 years in power, how has Orban rigged the system so much in his favour?
It's quite complicated, and I have to admit, I'm not an expert on all of it, but the key point is he's subverted the judicial system by essentially packing the constitutional court and making loyalist judges. So essentially, he can pretty well guarantee the courts will find in his favor. He and his government have completely taken over the state media, which are always very important and are obliged in some sense to be independent, politically neutral, but they're not. They're very, very much speak for the government alone. He has, and I think this is one of the crucial elements, is he's created a whole system of crony capitalism. So favored business people, friends, relatives, people he knows who will support him have been allowed or encouraged to purchase media companies, create media companies, and with the backing of the government to create businesses. And this interlinking of the business sector with the economy and the government is a sort of modern version of the sort of corporate capitalism that Mussolini was promoting in the 1920s and 30s. So essentially, the tentacles of the party and him are everywhere in every branch of the economy, in government, and in the judicial system. And the final thing I think that is very important, he's made it very, very difficult for any entity which is independent of him to get money from abroad. So he's really policed that very, 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 very carefully. And one of the most famous example, of course, is that the university that George Soros had promoted in Budapest, which is very famous, was essentially driven out because of the connection with George Soros, who was seen as hostile. So essentially, the Orbanism and Orban himself has taken over society and the state.
It's an extraordinary situation that you have Hungary as a member of the EU while being quintessentially anti-EU, with the exception of give me your money, please.
I think that is correct. I mean, I haven't mentioned that, obviously, because it was sort of related, but it's a bit external. I mean, he's been very, very clear that he supports Vladimir Putin. He has been extremely hostile to Ukraine. He's also been extremely friendly with Donald Trump, and the critique that Trump and his MAGA people constantly make of the EU. It's very clear that Orban is on the other side. So he's on the side of Trump and Putin against the EU and some of its most important values and projects, I mean, supporting Ukraine. And yet he takes all this money and he uses his, and then again, he uses his veto famously to stop the EU from acting. So to me, he's essentially a fifth column.
And I would agree, a fifth column within the EU. The question is, though, after 16 years in power, even though he has rigged so much of the system in his favour, the courts, the media and so on, he's facing an uphill battle to retain power.
Well, this is the last thing that is really left. It's still what the academics and research who study this would call an electoral democracy. There are still elections, and the elections aren't completely rigged. They're certainly biased, but they're not completely rigged, we think or hope. And even though it's not a liberal democracy, so the elections are in all sorts of way distorted by control of the media, difficulties for other parties to have the sort of presence that the ruling party does, nonetheless, it's there. And we know from experience, we saw this in Poland in the last election, well, the last parliamentary election, that in that situation, if the public's antipathy to the ruler, this sort of ruler, is sufficiently great, the margin of victory for the opposition can be so big that it can't be overwhelmed by all those forces that the regime has in its favor. And I hope, many hope, that that will be the case in Hungary. Of course, if it's a close vote, I would expect Orbán to win. But if it's a huge margin against him, it may be impossible for him to rig it. Now, I'm no expertise on this, but that's obviously the optimistic view that he has now run out of road. The hostility to him is so great that he won't be able to pull out another victory. But we shall see.
What do you think is the appeal in so many countries for this authoritarian approach?
Well, it's a very, very good and fundamental question. And perhaps the problem, in a way, is there are so many different theories about, and they might all be a bit, I think, all be a bit true. I think there have been very profound economic and social changes which have destabilized the traditional parties and the traditional sort of divisions within public opinion on class lines they have also destabilized many people's views of themselves. To take a few examples of this, mass immigration is clearly destabilized people's view of who are the citizens, who belongs here, who doesn't belong here. Do we like all these foreigners here? Well, the reaction of many people is no. Then there's obviously been huge destabilization of the position of men in society. So in quite a number of countries, the most reactionary part of the public are men. And we've been noticing quite big divergence of opinions between men and women on what they would like. I'm not true of everywhere, but it's very, very, I think, a very, very important factor. And then I think there is something permanent, which in my book on this subject I refer to, which is in Plato's Republic, so written 2,500 years ago, which is people like to have a powerful, strong leader they trust, a charismatic person whom they believe in, who promises to represent their interests, solve all their problems, and above all, bring down what they see as predatory, corrupt, indifferent elites who have seized all the levers of power in the society. And this final element is, I think, if you look back at history, human history, it sort of seems quite a permanent feature of us as social beings. Mm. This sort of leader is very, very attractive.
And then, of course, they become in time the elite who control all the levers of power. The populace become the elite, and then they face their demise. You can look at, you know, the Mussolini being strung up by his own people. You can look at the Ceausescu's up against a firing squad wall. And so it happens. But I'm wondering about Hungary particularly. I mean, their memories of the Soviet era must be quite still fresh in their minds. They were the first country to kind of open the door a chink back in the late 80s. But back in 1956, the Soviet tanks rolled into Budapest. And I know in Ireland, we have long memories about that kind of offense. And I'm wondering why the Hungarians don't.
I think that's a very good question, and I wish I understood it better. One of the things I have discovered is, and it's perhaps inevitable if you look at the history of Central Europe, which was sort of, as it were, constant turmoil. So some of the Hungarians I know still feel very bitter about the outcome of the First World War, when a sizable part of the country was cut away from and given to Romania. And Viktor Orban himself, I've met him and talked to him before he returned to power in 2010, and he very much made this point. So their sort of historical resentments often go in many different directions. But another thing that I think is important is, if you think the last experience of communism was in the 1980s, well, that's now 36 years ago. And you'd have to be certainly in late adolescence to have really good memories of that. So you'd have to be roughly 50 plus. Well, obviously, a very large number of people are not 50 plus. They won't view communism as the big problem. They will look at their own experience and are likely to have very different views and attitudes. And we can see this. I used to have a friend, a very dear friend, that died long ago, and he used to tell me, Martin, it's not true that we don't learn from history. We do, and then we forget. And this is, I think, part of what is happening, not just in Hungary, across the whole of the Western world.
Martin Wolf, thank you very much for joining us on our program today.
Yes, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.